We begin with COVID-19. New numbers from the state health department show COVID still ticking upward across North Carolina, with hospitalizations on the rise for the sixth straight week. There was also an uptick in COVID particles found in wastewater last week, though maybe some good news there, as the increase was only slight compared to the previous 2 weeks. That's typically a signal of trends to come. The pandemic has had many effects, one of which has been a severe negative impact on kids' mental health. There's renewed concern about mental health in the wake of recent mass shootings, but the crisis has also led to higher rates of depression, lower school performance, and most troubling, an increase in suicide attempts and other acts of self-harm. What do we know about the situation today, and what can we do to make it better? I spoke this week with UNC Professor Mitch Prinstein, who is serving as Chief Science Officer for the American Psychological Association. Here's part of what he had to say.
During the pandemic, we definitely saw that numbers were getting worse. A remarkable number of kids are experiencing depression, loneliness, rates of admission to the ED for suicide has increased. And not all kids are experiencing it the same way. We're definitely seeing disparities with kids from minoritized populations, sexual, gender, ethnic, racial populations, especially bearing the brunt of the mental health crisis. In the school districts that we work with outside of the Triangle, we're being told that kids are literally lined up down the hallway just waiting to talk with a counselor or a social worker. Never before have we seen people lined up, you know, just waiting for 10 minutes to talk with somebody.
So what does prevent people from suffering mental health issues?
We can teach kids emotion regulation skills, skills in social competence. They have adaptive, socially supportive relationships. Some mindfulness skills, so kids can learn how to kind of cope with stress. Some scientific literacy skills as well. And cognitive reappraisal, which is basically a way of saying that we interpret stressors as due to what actually made them occur rather than internally and kind of blame ourselves. If we taught kids those five different skills, we could probably avoid a huge proportion of the mental health problems that we see throughout middle and high school.
What can lawmakers do?
Let's fund more mental health providers. Let's fund more in-school prevention programs. We know how to do it. Let's do it. And let's do screening for mental health difficulties. I've done that here in North Carolina for years. We can go into a school district and screen for suicidality, and invariably we catch dozens of kids who are acutely thinking of injuring themselves or ending their lives, and no one knows about it. We could be doing this at a statewide level and really helping and saving a lot of kids.
That's Mitch Prinstein speaking there. You can listen to the full conversation and read a transcript on our website, chapelboro.com. Over to Carrboro now, where the town council met Tuesday with a busy agenda that included swearing in a new member and a momentous vote on a new comprehensive plan, plus one unexpected recess that was very much not on the agenda. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has details.
Eleazar Posada took his oath of office on Tuesday night, becoming the latest member of the Carrboro Town Council after winning a special election in May. Alamance County's State Representative Ricky Hurtado, one of the only Latino representatives in the state legislature, helped swear in Posada as he assumed the seat left vacant by Mayor Damon Siles last fall. After taking his seat at the dais, Posada shared some comments in both Spanish and English.
I want to take, before we get into this heavy agenda, take a moment to honor my ancestors, everyone who I'm standing on the shoulders of. I look forward to this new stage. Thank you all for the trust that you've put in me, and I'll work every day to live up to your expectations, but above all, the expectations of my community.
Each sitting town council member expressed their excitement to call Posada a colleague on the elected body, including Mayor Siles himself, who pointed out their families at one point lived in the same part of Texas.
I really appreciate that link, and my dad is thrilled for you as well, I will just say that. I also just note that for everyone that this is Pride Month. It is a happy coincidence for me that you are filling a vacancy that I left and have, by doing so, put Carrboro back into the lead as the town or city in North Carolina with the most ever LGBTQ elected officials.
A few minutes later, however, the mood of the meeting shifted from celebratory to tense. During the public comment period, a Carrboro community member used their time to criticize comments made by Councilmember Sammy Slade during the May 24th meeting. At the time, Slade shared thoughts about wishing to limit big spending in politics and holding elected officials accountable. He eventually compared spending by gun advocacy groups to the spending in the congressional District 4 primary race in Orange County. a race which State Senator Valerie Fouché won by double-digit percentage points while also having the most outside campaign contributions. Councilmember Barbara Fouché, who is extended family with the Democratic nominee for Congress, criticized Slade's comments on May 24th.
How dare you come in here on your soapbox and try to bring this black woman down? How dare you?
Tuesday night, Slade began to respond to the public commenter, but a spat broke out again.
I'm sorry if some people don't see the effect of that degree and that amount of record-breaking amounts.
Don't talk about what people understand and what they don't understand, Sammy.
I'm explaining myself. We're going to speak.
You're such a hater.
All right.
It took an 11-minute recess for the council to come back to order and to tackle its full agenda. Council members approved a special use permit for the Arts Center to renovate 400 Robertson Street for its new location. They also approved a funding request from the Interfaith Council for their work at 110 West Main Street and throughout the community. Additionally, the local government saw a years-long project be approved unanimously, the Carrboro Connects Comprehensive Plan. The measure, which lays out a framework for town decision-making across the next 20 years, formally confirmed several priorities and strategies will be put into place starting later this year. The approved plan has chapters like race and equity, land use, transportation and mobility, and climate action. Creators of the comprehensive plan said not only is it unique in that it will be shared in both English and Spanish for community members, but it features a framework for early implementation of the goals across the next 5 years. Town Council member Danny Nowell said he wanted to credit the town staff and community partners for their intensive work on the comprehensive plan. While Nowell said he hopes Carrboro can progress even further beyond the priorities set out, the plan provides a clear direction.
I really feel strongly that this plan establishes a very high floor for our possible development as a town, but also, as we have carved out better versions of it, has raised the ceiling significantly for where we might go.
More about the Carrboro Connects comprehensive plan, as well as photos from Tuesday's council meeting, can be found on chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Elsewhere in local government, Orange County commissioners are meeting tonight at 7 for a budget work session in the Witted Building in Hillsboro. In Durham, the city council is also meeting today, first at 9 for one more budget work session, and then again at 1 to approve their final budget for next year. Now to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is expected to issue its final ruling this month on a very closely watched abortion case. Draft opinion leaked earlier this spring would overturn Roe v. Wade. No guarantee that will end up being the final ruling, but it's clear the justices are at least strongly considering that possibility. What would be the impact of such a ruling? Dr. Beverly Gray is an OBGYN at Duke University. She spoke recently at a panel about the effect of abortion restrictions on women's health, and she says it wouldn't be good.
These bans in their various language will have impacts on patients seeking abortion at all stages. And I think in the second trimester for patients who have a wanted pregnancy that receive a fetal diagnosis that's devastating, now they'll be scrambling to find a way to receive care. I mean, I think our patients that we take care of do not want their families to suffer. They do not want their children to suffer. And for patients seeking abortion, sometimes that is an act of motherhood. They don't want their child to have a life where they're suffering. And so, you know, until you're faced with an unplanned pregnancy, a pregnancy with the diagnosis that's fatal, it's impossible to understand the circumstances of that individual and the ramifications for those families. And so I think, although there are many that want to quickly judge patients who are seeking abortion care, I think until you've walked a mile in their shoes, you don't really understand what they're going through, what their families are going through, what they're facing with a fatal diagnosis.
That's Duke University Dr. Beverly Gray speaking there. In police news, yesterday we reported Chapel Hill police were searching for a missing teen, Colby Williams. Late yesterday, though, police announced Williams had returned home safely. And finally, on this, the last day of school, big congratulations to Kimberly Jones, an English teacher at Chapel Hill High, just named as Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Teacher of the Year. She got that honor at a reception earlier this week. 6:20, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. With the NCAA Super Regionals just a couple days away, individual honors are in for one Tar Heel baseball star. Outfielder Vance Honeycutt has been named a freshman All-American by Collegiate Baseball Magazine. Honeycutt leads UNC in seven offensive categories, including runs, home runs, stolen bases, and slugging percentage. He's already tied the single-season UNC record with 24 homers, and with 29 stolen bases, he's the first Tar Heel ever to have 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases in a single season. He's also one of only two players in the 2020 club in the nation this year. Honeycutt and the Heels get underway in the NCAA Super Regional against Arkansas Saturday at 11 a.m. in Boshammer Stadium, game one of a best-of-three set for a trip to the College World Series. We'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Meanwhile, in the pros, the Durham Bulls suffered another loss last night, 6-3 at Memphis. That's two in a row for them. The Bulls are back in action at Memphis tonight at 8, looking to get back on the winning track.